Welcome to episode 164 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live February 7, 2020. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a topic or recent news and how it relates to you. This week, we discuss the inevitable expiring certificate that took down Teams, but then also get into some news in both Office 365 and Azure, and maybe even a little news about LEGO. Everything is recording.
Everything is awesome.
Everything is awesome. I did not get blown away in the storms that came through here last night.
Well, I wouldn't know, because in other news, it rains in Seattle.
It rained here last night, too.
Probably not the way it's been raining here.
No, not the way it's been raining there. Although I think we had like a squall warning or something. I don't know. There were a few tornadoes that popped up around, or tornado watches. I think there was one tornado warning I saw. But
you know, I was flying in on Saturday, and everybody was saying, it has been raining for 32 days straight. It's going to be raining. It's going to not be nice. Flew in on Saturday or Sunday, whatever day it was. And it was beautiful. It was sunny. Mountain was out. It was great. All good, ready to go. Monday was great, beautiful. And then Tuesday, it just turned to blah again. It's definitely winter in the Pacific Northwest.
I'm sorry. It's sunny here now in like 57 or 60. It's beautiful here in Florida today.
I know. I'll be back Saturday. It's going to be great.
So it was like 82 days ago. Our air turned on. Our air conditioning is not supposed to run in January. That is just not. Oh, but speaking of everything is awesome, did you watch the new LEGO Masters on Fox?
No, it's not like the one that's like the LEGO cooking show?
Yes, exactly. It's like the reality TV show of being a super awesome LEGO builder. I missed it on Wednesday, but I watched it last night.
Is it worth watching?
It was.
I haven't done it yet.
Yes, I would definitely recommend it. I'm curious to see how they keep going, but it was fun to watch. And my wife actually, so my wife's not, like, she doesn't go play with Legos. I do that. But we got done with it. And she's like, oh, I wish there was another one. So she enjoyed it too.
Well, it sounds like something I'd be into. We can do a viewing party with the kids or something.
Yeah, you should. I'm blanking on his name right now, but the host of it is the guy that actually was the voice of Batman for the Lego movie.
Excellent.
Yeah, so he does a good job as a host too. Add some comedy in there.
I'm going to have to add that to my list. What channel is that on?
Fox. In Jacksonville, that would be 30-1.
Excellent. Over the air. Got it.
Yes. Should we jump into actual like Office 365 and Azure stuff?
Yeah, let's do it.
Everyone on your team is unique. So is SkillMeUp.com. Only SkillMeUp provides the bridge from fundamentals to certification paths to advanced skills to accelerate digital transformation with one subscription and five ways to learn. Start your free pilot today and supercharge your IT and Microsoft Azure skills by visiting skillmeup.com/pilot or click the link in the show notes below. Should we start with the most obvious news?
Certificates are hard.
Certificates are hard. Did you know that they expire? And did you know that they give you a date of when they expire?
I have heard, like, these concepts have come across me, yes.
And when they expire, they break stuff.
It's not that they break stuff, it's that stuff breaks.
True. Good point. There's a differentiation there. So, in all fairness, I've had certificates expire on me, on my website, and my website breaks. People do it, but this is not the first time the certificate has expired and taken down an entire service in Office 365. I mean, my website, I get a few visitors to it a day. If it breaks, it's not a big deal. But when Teams goes down, like all of Teams goes down, I don't know what to say. Other than, yes, I get that certificates expire and that everybody makes mistakes. But you would think with something that's that big, there would be something in place to know when a certificate's going to expire.
Yeah. You know, I don't know where that stuff falls out. I'd imagine a lot of it is just, you know, honest, like human mistakes or organizational minutia. Like I've worked in organizations where in operations, you know, you're the ones who are responsible for buying the certs or security is whatever it is.
Yep.
And they purchase all those under a shared mailbox or a distribution list. So, you know, most certificate vendors do send renewal notices like, hey, in 60 days, you're going to expire, renew in 30 days, whatever it is. Most do at least 30. But because you signed up for it, security at podcast.com, it comes in there. And then over time, you've had so much spam and other things from that same company, it just goes straight to junk and goes away very quickly.
So how does it work with Microsoft, though? Because I was looking at various discussions around this, too. And a lot of people said, hey, Microsoft signs their own certificates because they're like a trusted certificate vendor. So do they have to go out and buy them, or do they just go create all their own certificates that are trusted?
My understanding is that they kind of act internally as like a public CA.
Yep.
Same thing. Yes, they do have root certs and things like that. But you know, you as a consumer would go out and request that cert, purchase that cert, go through the whole thing. But you, I would have to think you're still getting renewal notices. If you're not, that's a great item to put in the product backlog.
I guess it's, is Microsoft sending themselves renewal notices, or if they go generate them internally, are there, like, do they not go through the same process internally, which is the renewal notices? I don't know. And I've been in situations too, where it's like, you're standing up service. It's like, hey, I need a cert. You go buy a cert and you kind of forget about the fact that there's a cert there that has to be renewed.
So I think like most things, this drives potentially better behaviors or better operational policies around these things. So there's an automated provisioning flow for certificate renewal, and it failed for this service in this case. Go through RCA, figure out why that happened, and fix it so it doesn't happen again in the future. So that's all well and good. But at some point, it'll probably happen for another service because, you know, it's so hard to catch it all up across the org. You know, I was disappointed that Teams was down for 3 to 4 hours. It was kind of annoying that I had to dial into all my meetings over the phone and like a Neanderthal, but I survived it. I still had access to Outlook. I could still get into my meeting requests and get the phone numbers, and those are formatted for one-click dial. And the other thing, it was still, you know what? It was somebody else's problem. Like, yes, it negatively impacted customers, and you know, I was one of those.
Yep.
But long tail of things, I was still very glad that I was not the person in the operations center.
Right. So I think maybe the biggest thing, and I don't know how this would work, I should have tried it while it was down, although I could get into it the whole time because I think I was already signed in, so it just kept me signed in, was how did that affect users that are maybe using Office 365 and Teams for enterprise voice in terms of being able to receive phone calls?
I don't know, because I couldn't get into Teams at all.
Right. So I don't know, like, if, for instance, more incoming calls than outgoing. Like, do incoming calls then just go straight to voicemail? Or for me, I have like a call forwarding set up, so it'll forward to my cell phone. So I don't know where an incoming call routes to if it's down, if it will still forward or what will happen. But it was interesting. I also saw some things that people were asking, doesn't Azure Key Vault auto-renew certificates? And can't you handle all of this? Put your certificates in Azure Key Vault, use that to auto-renew. I haven't looked at that. Is that something, too, that could be done in this case to not have to worry about it?
Key Vault stores certificates. It's a storage plane and a retrieval plane.
Yep.
But you still have to wire up the automation around renewal and whatever that looks like.
Got it.
There's all sorts of possibilities in there.
Yeah.
Your mileage may vary. But like I said, at the end of the day, like, it gets resolved, we move on, we go to the next thing, and lesson learned. You know, it's easy to chuckle from the outside and go like, somebody didn't know how to renew a certificate, really, again. But the reality is, like, that stuff happens.
Again, like I said, we've all done it. I've done it. Our podcast site went down once for a little bit because I forgot about a certificate that had to be renewed. And it all comes back up and life moves on.
Now that I heard you just say that you've done it, now we got to talk about it.
Now we have to talk about when I forgot to renew it?
Yeah. Or we can move on.
Now let's move on. It actually had to do with Cloudflare and how Cloudflare trusts certificates and passes stuff through and all of that. So in other news, there was a exciting roadmap feature that I noticed the other day. It popped up and I tweeted about it, and I'm waiting for it to come to my tenant. But this is feature ID 60975, and we'll put a link to it in the show notes. But Microsoft, a couple days ago, announced a new feature coming to the Microsoft 365 Admin Center called the Organization Switcher. So this is for admins who manage multiple organizations. You're the partner of record on another tenant that you support and help administer. So in the Admin Center, there's going to be the ability to just go into your Microsoft 365 Admin Center, and switch between the various organizations that you manage. So this excited me for a couple of reasons. One, currently I can do this, but I have to go through the Partner Center and I have to have multiple tabs open. And well, I don't have to have multiple tabs open. I can do it all in the same session, but I do have to go through the Partner Center and sometimes everything gets confused in terms of which tenant I am working with. So this will be nice to be able to just stay right in my admin center and do it. The other reason this kind of got me excited is it means that Microsoft is recognizing some of that need to be able to switch between organizations. So maybe, just maybe, this will start also surfacing in something like, well, it's kind of already there in Teams, but it'll start surfacing itself in other areas where it'll get easier and easier to switch between those various 365 tenants that you may be a part of.
Multi-org is in Teams, but it's in Teams on mobile devices. It's not in Teams on the desktop.
But you're switching tenants logged in as a guest user, which is kind of how...
For example, I can go from my Opsgility tenant to Microsoft's tenant and chat with people over there, but I'm the same user the entire time. But if I had a Microsoft, you know, email address and an Opsgility email address, I could not sign into both of those in the same time in the desktop client. I'd have to sign in and sign out to actually go like true cross-org.
Yes.
Versus on mobile, I can sign in to all of my organizational accounts and I have access to all of them at once. So I'm not just flipping between a single account, whether my account was a guest or, because it's still an account. I actually have, you know, multiple versions of those.
So the first way is how this is probably going to work, because in the Partner Center, it's that same way where it's essentially using my company org account and it's federating it in, and it's like mm-hmm. a trusted federated account into yep. these other tenants. So it's not allowing me to switch to from Ben at mycompany.com to Ben at myclientcompany.com. It's just using that same intelligent.com address that's federated with all my clients.
Right. It was more than when you called out like Teams on the desktop. Like what I would want, because I do have multiple accounts, like I'm not looking for it from an admin perspective in Teams. I want it as an end user where I can go in as my individual user accounts without signing in and signing out.
Yes.
Or need it to have my mobile device sitting next to me so I can make that happen.
Yes, that would be nice as well. And again, as Microsoft is starting to see this, hopefully all of these different multi-org scenarios will start getting solved a little bit easier across various platforms and services.
One can always hope.
Oh, fingers are crossed. Another one, conditional access. I'll hit this one and then I'll let you do your Azure ones.
Okay.
Then you can do your Azure news after this. As IT professionals in the cloud era, sometimes it feels like we don't speak the same language as the rest of the organization. So when stakeholders from finance or other departments start asking about a specific project or team's Azure costs, they don't always realize how much work is involved in obtaining that information, sifting through cluttered CSVs and a complex mess of metadata in order to manually create custom views and reports. It's a real headache. On top of helping you understand and reduce your organization's overall Azure spend, ShareGate Overcast lets you group resources into meaningful cost hubs and map them to real-world business scenarios. This way, you can track costs in the way that makes most sense with your corporate structure, whether it's by product, business unit, team, or otherwise. It's a flexible, intuitive, and business-friendly way of tracking Azure infrastructure costs, and it's only available in ShareGate Overcast. Find out more on ShareGate.com/ITPro. So this was another recent announcement. I don't know what the date was on this one. I am pulling up the site now to see when it was actually posted. This is Tuesday, like 2 days ago, February. I don't know what that was, like four, something like that, somewhere in that time frame. Microsoft announced conditional access for the Office 365 suite. So there is now a new cloud app or action. That's essentially a cloud app. Actions are things you do later. A new cloud app in conditional access when you go in to configure that lets you select Office 365. So up until this point, when you go in and do conditional access and you want to block certain apps, require MFA for certain apps, all of that, you might have to go in and actually select, it was like ballpark of 20, 22 different apps where you'd have to select Exchange Online, SharePoint, Teams, Planner, Power BI, Dynamics 365, if you wanted it on that. You had to go select all these different services that were a part of Office 365 to apply conditional access to. And then if a new service came out or got added, you would have to go in and remember to add that new service, or if you wanted to remove one. Now you can just say, I want to protect Office 365 with conditional access, which appears to essentially include everything in Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Teams, I'm assuming Planner, Power BI, Flow, all of those.
Yeah, I'll put a link to the docs for what it covers. So that single client app for Office 365 is Exchange Online, SharePoint Online, Teams, Yammer, Office.com, so like the official like portal.office.com stuff, Microsoft Forms, Microsoft Power Automate, which I'm assuming covers not only like Power Automate within like embedded in the Office 365 platform, but potentially like just going and creating a flow outside of it. I don't know. I'd have to try that one out and see what happens.
I would assume so. I would assume it would have to cover that.
And it also covers Planner and Power Apps today.
So it doesn't include everything. I was looking because up above it has the list of all the cloud applications.
Right.
Like Staff Hub and Stream and Sway and Delve.
Yes. Yeah, so,
that's an interesting one that Delve isn't in that list of Office 365 apps.
Do they still have Delve?
It's listed up above. They do still have it. If you go to your profile, it'll still go to like Delve dot whatever, I think. Yeah, they do still have Delve. I can't remember what its history or what its future is. I think it's listed as a separate app yet too. I don't know.
The greatest search MVP that ever became a thing.
Squirrel, what did you say about an MVP?
I said minimally viable products are sometimes not viable.
Anyways.
So, yeah. Like you said, this is a great way to potentially consolidate rules across the board. So where you are managing 20 rules, if you can eliminate 9 of them today, guess what? Now you don't have to manage 22 anymore, right?
Yep.
It's a little bit easier. They didn't very clearly like spell out roadmap for this one because it was just a feature that popped in. And it's Azure Active Directory, right? That's driving this. So it's coming out of that team. It's not coming out of the Office team itself. But hopefully the Azure AD team figures out that, hey, Office 365 is more than just this these core 9 apps here. And they really can roll everything that's available in conditional access into this same thing. So effectively, you could match like a per user entitlement or a SKU pack.
Yeah, they're definitely going to have to expand that out because I guess maybe their theory behind not having Skype for Business in there is that it's going away. But Skype for Business isn't included in that list of what's included.
Yeah.
I would agree. Hopefully, and again, it's in preview right now. So this is not a GA feature yet. And I'm with you. I would assume they'd start trying to roll all of those in where you could protect all of the Office 365 services with just that one, if you choose. Oh, Azure stuff. You put some Azure stuff in here that you wanted to talk about.
Did I?
You did.
Is that Azure stuff?
Yes.
Azure is the thing people use?
Every now and again. We just talked about Azure AD. I'm letting you branch from our Azure AD. See that segue? Azure AD, conditional access into other Azure services.
That was just so brilliant. I'm blinded by the light. Ugh, boy. So yeah, you talked about some of the partner management features that are potentially coming with that org switcher in Office 365, where you're partner of record. Over in Azure land, in the way back when of like late last year, I believe, say Ignite, because I don't remember exactly when it was.
It was Ignite.
They announced a feature for Azure. It's called Azure Lighthouse. It is built around Azure MSPs. So maybe you're not a partner of record. Like maybe you're coming in to help a customer with a particular project, or you are an MSP, but you're working in customer subs that you're not reselling under the CSP model, the cloud solution provider, something like that. So Lighthouse is a product that is built all around giving service providers, whether it's single instance service provider, multi-instance, whatever it is, just a control plane into Azure resources in a customer subscription. So customers get full insight into, like, say you invited me into your Azure sub as a Lighthouse provider, you would have full insight into the things I do. Like, I show up in the activity log, and you're also deliberately granting me access. So you can also revoke that access at another time if you need to. So all good and ready to go there. So Lighthouse is basically kind of like, hey, I have lots of customers. Let me get into their stuff and be able to work on the workloads that I need to within there.
Yep.
So Lighthouse has been out. It's been kicking around. You know, you can certainly go read the documentation about it, how to onboard a public or private marketplace item and offer for your customer. You know, it spins up in the ARM template, blah, blah, blah. You get stuff. As a new product, there are limitations to it. They just announced a whole new set of updates that pushed out on end of January, so January 30, where it's kind of extending it and making it a little bit better for both customers. So think like customer managed context of seeing, hey, what's going on within my stuff? And then service providers as well. So you'll, like, as a service provider, you have your service provider tenant, and there's been issues with maybe removing like role delegation out of there. Like, sometimes you might have to have a customer go in and do it for you because they're the one that controls the delegation at some point.
Got it.
So Microsoft's like helping clean that up. Like, if I had a customer and the relationship severs with them, or, you know, we move on or they go to somebody else and they forget to remove me, I can just go in and kind of remove myself. So MSPs through Lighthouse are now going to have access to delete assignments for role assignments that they have. Like, that's all going to be really cool. They also extended Azure Resource Graph. So there's a new context. So if you think about like authenticating, maybe through authenticating to like the ARM API plane, so you're pulling down that token and that cookie, and you have a context for who you are and what's going on. They have a new context that's coming to the graph called Managed by Tenant, which is going to make Lighthouse, so a tenancy in Azure that's lit up for Lighthouse management will have this set on it. And then if you're the service provider and you have the rights to do it, you're going to be able to do just straight queries through Azure Resource Graph, which is all about kind of at scale querying, grouping, filtering, and things like that across all of your customer subscriptions. So say you design a solution, you manage it, like it's some monitoring solution, customer goes into the marketplace, they deploy it, they onboard you. Now you can all of a sudden come in and have access to maybe like all the Diag storage accounts across all those through the resource graph and pin them, roll them up, and then be able to act on them if something happens, right? Because you'll have the debt.
And this isn't just pin them within a single tenant then. This would be across everywhere that you have those delegated rights.
Yep. So that's all cool, because anything that gives you as an MSP more insight across the board, awesome, and certainly helps out. They're also extending other ways to affect change. So when we think about like governance in Azure, we do a lot with RBAC and policy. And usually we talk about scoping and where those things fall out. So do I scope things at a subscription scope, a resource group scope, resource, or do I go to a higher level, like a tenant level thing, like management groups?
Yep.
So for customers, that's great. Like, if I'm a customer and I have 10 subscriptions, they're all in the same AD tenant, I can manage IAM from the top and have it bleed down through everything because I'm going at kind of that highest level scope I can. But for MSPs who do multiple tenancies, that's a harder problem to solve because I have to go into one tenant and then go into another tenant and then go into another tenant, things like that.
Right.
So say you're like an MSP who has a service offering around governance and like all you, and what you do is build and deploy policies for customers. Up until now, like I said, you'd have to go tenant by tenant by tenant to do it. They extended some of the ARM plane and updated the PowerShell commandlets, so the EAZ commandlets, where you can now deploy policy across multiple customer tenants at once as well. So deploy and affect change within policy. So deploy, update, delete. So make new policy definitions and make new policy assignments or new initiative definitions and new initiative assignments as well. All the at scale things, like I think when I first saw Lighthouse come out, it was like, okay, this is cool and it does this. But it wasn't very clear how that was going to come together and manifest itself.
Right.
They've been iterating on it, I mean, super rapidly. there's a pretty wide community of examples and things that are out there. So like as a CSP, it doesn't affect me a whole ton because, you know, like I said, you resell that subscription and it goes out. So you do have access through Partner Center and things like that. And through some of the Partner Center functionality with service principles and other things, you know, it's not too bad to have access to all your subscriptions within a CSP. But if you're somebody out there that works with multiple customers across multiple offers, like, you know, I've got these people on PayGo, this one over here on this one, this, because there's, you know, whatever, like 60 plus different offers ultimately customers can be in. It's like, and Lighthouse does legitimately make those things easier.
Yeah, this would be really nice. It does look like, I was looking at the policies one, that right now this is just looks like you have to do everything in PowerShell.
Correct. Yeah. So I think it's like most things in Azure, like features and functionality either hit the portal first. Sometimes they come to PowerShell first. Sometimes they come to CLI first. But really what this means is if PowerShell is doing it, it means the API plane is out there. And because all PowerShell does is use the ARM APIs and RESTful calls. So if you wanted to, you could probably, like if you're like a dev shop and you're trying to build tooling around this, like you could potentially just sidestep PowerShell and go straight to just straight REST.
Yeah. When it comes to email, Outlook and Office 365 are fantastic. But sometimes there are things you'd like to do that aren't implemented. Sperry Software creates Outlook add-ins and Office 365 services that fill in these gaps. For instance, there are Outlook add-ins to automatically print emails and or attachments, save emails to PDF, send out recurring emails, or how about a warning when you're going to do a reply to all instead of a normal reply? Find these and many more email productivity solutions. Get started today by visiting www.sperrysoftware.com/cloudit. I was just even thinking you could even do this like with an Azure automation. If you built some type of front end that went and ran this PowerShell to deploy certain policies to certain subscriptions or managed all of it that way too. There's lots of other ways and tools you could build on top of these PowerShell scripts to manage this.
Yep. And some of this stuff like the PowerShell thing, you're like, well, why couldn't they do that before? Like if you go into the articles and you read the way it's done, the very first thing they're doing is using that Azure resource graph to query across all the resource containers that you as a Lighthouse provider can go out and touch. So they just fire off a query that goes out and grabs all of...
Okay, all your managed subscriptions, essentially, it looks like.
Correct, yeah. So let's grab those and then enumerate them. So now that you've got that collection to enumerate, boom, go ahead and do it. So it's not really like, it was more painful to do it before. Like you might have to like import a CSV or a JSON file or have a configuration in a database. Now it's like, hey, if I manage it, I can just query the graph, the resource graph, not the Microsoft graph, query the Azure resource graph, get it back, boom, enumerate that collection of stuff that comes back to me. And I'm all set.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Looks good. I like it.
Yeah. You should play around with Lighthouse if you haven't yet.
I really should. There's so many things I want to go play around with. I need more time.
Nah, come on.
Or I need to sleep less.
That's the answer.
Or just more coffee, one of those.
Or all three.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you wanted to talk about today?
No, I think that's a good set.
We'll wrap it up. You can go enjoy some of your sessions in Seattle.
Yeah.
And I can go get some client work done.
Work would definitely be a good thing and probably a priority.
Yeah, it usually is. There's bills to pay, and the requirement to paying bills is that I actually work, so I have money to pay him with.
It's a little chicken egg thing, but
secret of life.
I'm going to let you go and do some work.
All right, perfect. Sounds good.
I guess I'm going to try and do the same.
All right, get some of that work done. Enjoy the rest of your day and your weekend, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks, Ben.
Yep. Bye-bye, Scott.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.